Fantastic. Hey, I'm John Bolger with Premier Guitar, and I'm here with Eric Johnson before your acoustic set in Nashville, Tennessee. Eric, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, yeah.
So, it's really interesting. Yeah, no matter what you pick up, you still sound like Eric Johnson.
I guess people just sound like they do, which makes me think I'm going to quit dragging all those pedals and amplifiers when I go back to playing electric guitars. If it doesn't make any difference, I'll show up with a Tweed Princeton and a Strat and be done, I guess.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. It's funny, I saw you, maybe 15 years ago at Tower Records in Nashville, and all you had were two little Blues Juniors or something,
and
a couple pedals.
Yeah.
And it sounded amazing. It was like an in-store thing you were doing.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, sometimes it, I don't know if it really matters. Maybe it's better not to have it so complicated.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Whatever you're doing is, who's going to argue with that? So, hey, well, let's start with this guitar. What are you playing on this tour?
Yeah, well, I usually do the electric thing, and I've made an acoustic record, and for stage, I thought, obviously Tommy Emmanuel being the best there is out there, with that
kind of is the gold standard.
I'm going to get a Maton and an AER amp, and I'll start with that, and then kind of tweak it from there as to whatever my personal tastes are, but I do think that the Matons are really cool for stage. They have a really cool, you can kind of almost hear the pickup as I talk, but they have a nice pickup system, and it's really tough to get an acoustic sound on stage electrified, you know?
Right.
It ends up sounding like an electric guitar kind of, or like that piezo sound, you know?
Yeah. And
so it's a struggle, and Tommy does a killer job of it, and there's a lot of the great players, Andy McKee and Doyle Dykes and Michael Hedges, and those are kind of a lot of my heroes. And then also, of course, dig the old James Taylor and Joni Mitchell and Paul Simon thing, but I'm digging these as far as they have a pretty natural sound to them. And then I like the, I use the Lloyd Baggs Venue preamp. I like that.
Yeah, God, this system is so simple. So you're just running, you're using the proprietary pickup on the Maton.
It has a microphone and the bridge saddle. And then I just run it into the Baggs Venue preamp. There's one section that I notch out. Pretty much, I leave it pretty flat, actually. I just use it for gain.
Yeah.
But I do notch out one frequency, around something down there. And then I just run it into an AER compact XL60 amplifier.
Okay. Yeah. Easy enough. Are you using the Verb on the, is that from the bags?
No, there's a little bit of, there's no reverb in the bags, but I used a little bit of reverb on the amplifier on the AER.
Oh, yeah. Easy enough. Nothing to
it. Yeah, it's pretty simple.
And you're not even using a pick. You're just
I use the Jim Dunlop Jazz 3 pick on certain songs, and then I use a thumb pick on one song. But most of the time, I just play with my fingers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen you do the whole Merle Travis thing and the Jerry Reed thing. Are you doing that stuff on this tour?
Yeah, I do a little of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How cool.
Kind of dig it all. I'm a big fan of the old kind of folk stuff, so I have like a handful of songs that are just like vocal kind of folk pieces, kind of thing. And then I do a song on the classical guitar as well.
So, oh, cool.
Yeah, use that.
So what, do you know the model number of this one?
You know, it's just some kind of custom shop. I'm not even sure what the model is on it.
In the past, you played a lot of Martins. Was it a D28 or a 45?
Well, I have a D45, and I love using Martins in the studio, like with a couple of Neumann KM56 microphones.
Sure.
I prefer in the studio to not use pickup systems at all. Just try to straight ahead mic,
Sure.
And because if you EQ it right, and then you run it into a nice compressor, you can kind of get that power and punch that you would with a pickup. So it's kind of, to me, I kind of like that just natural. So that's what I do in the studio, but that doesn't really work live very well. Unless you're like going to play some performance hall and be like super soft,
Yeah.
And then it's kind of tough,
Yeah. Well, so you've got this one and then a single cut, looks like.
Yeah, it's basically exactly the same kind of guitar, just with a cutaway. Same pickup system, I run it the same and everything, yeah.
So do you just change, do you just choose the single cut when you're going way up the neck, or
actually, I just happen to have two of them, and not so much as this is the one I use the most, and then I use this one for like capo and drop D tunings and stuff. And that kind
Great.
Of deal.
And then you've got a classical as well.
Yeah, I use the classical for one tune, and I actually am using this really crazy old system. No, it's just a Fishman. It's like it's a Takamine guitar with a Bags piezo and a microphone in there, Crown mic in there, and it's kind of funky, but. And then I just kept this pocket blender because it seems to kind of, it has a nice. Sounds pretty normal, and because I got using the mic a lot.
So the proprietary system you took out on the...
Yeah, I did take it out because this is one of those LB1 bags things, which are really, they're really great for a piezo. You have to really dig out the guitar to put them in, though. They're pretty deep.
Yeah.
And but they're cool piezos. But I use a lot of microphone with this thing. It seems on a classical guitar, using the internal mic seems to work better. The internal mic on steel strings is not in and of itself is not that great, but when you add it to the piezo, it sounds pretty natural. But
yeah,
on this thing it works pretty. It just, you know, it's one of those happy accidents. I don't know. Mike, who does our sound, he says, it works great, and I just don't want to touch it. But it's not. It's kind of like if you get something that's kind of funky, like it shouldn't work right, but you know. And then what would happen is I go, no, let's improve it, and I would like get something more bigger and better and more expensive, and it wouldn't be as good.
So yeah.
I'll just kind of go with it because it works.
Well, and it seems like gut strings are a lot more forgiving. Like
that,
you can almost plug them into a twin.
Exactly.
I know. Pretty good.
And they sound pretty good. Absolutely. Yeah. So. It's kind of frustrating to me in a way because I worked on getting the steel string just right and setting the ER and getting the, this thing is like, I don't do anything to it. I just plug it in and Mike goes, well, that's the best sound guitar you have on the tour. I was like, well, he said, that's the best sound of the night. And I said, well, I didn't even work at that. I just got to plug it in and it worked. So, but yeah, I think you're right. I mean, something about the nylon string, you're kind of already ahead of the game a little bit, I think. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is fabulous.
There's actually been some times in the studio, I have a Ramirez, and I used a Ramirez on this acoustic record, but there have been times in the studio where we've AB'd the Ramirez. It's like a nice old 60s Ramirez, Segovia model, with this thing, and the engineer would go, well, let's use that one with the cutaway. I'm like, it's a $180 guitar, and it works better sometimes than the other thing. You never know.
You never know.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the cool things about your whole sound. It seems like you always kind of choose by your ear rather than, like a cork sniffer, you know?
Well, yeah, that's really well said. And I think there's a beauty in that because it really allows, you know, any musician anywhere with any pocketbook to do something beautiful.
Right.
You don't have to have a lot of complexity or a lot of money or have to buy. I mean, I've had like brand new Strats that sounded amazing. Like they sounded better than an old Strat, and they were like obviously a fraction of the price. So I think if you find magic, there's no rules for the magic. It can just happen, you know. And that's the beauty of it. So I think it makes it eligible for anybody on whatever kind of price point they want to work on, you know.
Yeah, it's funny. I did an Andy Timmons rig rundown a while ago, and we were talking about seeing you use like a DD2 or something like that
in a
rig. And we were both like, And you know, we watched that, and he's like, "God, I wonder if I have a DD too." Yeah, no, it's a three, not close. Yeah.
Yeah. I know, and I do that too. I mean, that's what I did with you know these amps and stuff with Tommy that he used. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. It's really inspiring to, I don't know, see somebody like you that does it so well. And I guess we all kind of want to know the secret. But I guess the secret is just play well.
Yeah, I think it's that. And sometimes just the alchemy of the pieces, you know. Because I've noticed sometimes I've had pieces of gear where I go, oh, this is no good. I'm going to sell it. And then later on, I'd would have tried it in some other complete different thing, and in another situation it's like better than what I ended up getting.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because it's really just about the alchemy of the pieces, you know?
in context.
Yeah, absolutely. Like the guitar with the whatever pedals and the amp, in context, and then it's you have to be careful when you say something's good or bad, because it's just how it works in that in context.
Absolutely. Well, Eric, I know you've got to run, but man, thank you so much for joining us today. What a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. All right.
Okay, till next time.
Yeah, hey, all right.
Don't forget to sign up for PG Perks, your all-access pass to exclusive gear giveaways and discounts on PremierGuitar.com.